Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Tzadi Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar with our system, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins with the last word on Daf Tzadi Omid Beis, where the Mishnah begins. Ha'oinein. We continue at the top of Daf Tzadi Aleph. V'hamefakech es hadal. V'chein mi shiftichu lahoitzio mi beis ha'asurim. V'acholev v'azokein shein yichoyim lechol kezayis. Shochatim aleihem. A number of people were listed in this Mishnah. The Onain, he is a person that unfortunately experienced the demise of a close relative, and the relative has not yet been buried. That day, the day of the demise of that relative, he is called an Onain. The next case, Mefakech es Hagal, this is a reference to a person that is removing a pile of stones, an avalanche that fell on someone, and we're not sure if the person underneath is alive or dead. The next case of the Mishnah was Mishif Tichu Lotzio Mibeis Hasurim, someone who was incarcerated and was promised to be released that night, and that was the night of eating the Korban Pesach. A chole, an infirmed individual, or a zokein, shein yichoyim lechol kezayis, a sick person or an aged person, but they have the capacity of eating an olive quantity. So the Mishnah says regarding all of these cases, Shochtim aleihem, and Rashi at the second line from the top says, Shochtim olav, the mikomokoim odenu becheskes tara. These people are have an assumed status of tara, and specifically the fellow who's removing the stones from atop somebody. The one nami the urto chazin, and the onein when it comes to nightfall. From the Torah standpoint, he is allowed to partake of the Korban Pesach. Kedamrinon begemora daninus laila leisa midoraisa. The observance of this onain state, which when one is an actual onain, so they cannot eat sacrifices. But that onain state is only the day of death and not the following night. That is from the Torah standpoint. There are rabbinic laws that impose additional restrictions, but from the Torah standpoint, aninus, an onain, observes that status one day and not the following night. As Rashi says, aninus vayo lesa midraisa, el aninus yoim, just that one day, kidichtiv, hein hayom hikrivu. Yom osur, lailo mutur. And that's taught b'shchitas kochim and maseches vochim v'gabi Pesach. When it comes to the issue of processing a korban Pesach, lo hemidu divrayim b'mokum kores. The rabbis didn't impose their restriction of aninus lailo because of the korban Pesach being a requirement midoraisa, carrying with it a kores penalty for someone who doesn't do it, the korban Pesach. The Mishnah says, Shochtem aleihem, Rashi adds, Bechabura sachirim. In other words, when any of these people are the member of a group with other people, so they are considered eligible members to be part of a Korban Pesach group. Al kulam ein shochtem aleihem b'fnei atzmon, the Mishnah says. However, regarding all of these people, you wouldn't slaughter a Korban Pesach if they are the sole beneficiaries. In the case of the Onain, there's a fear he might defile himself to the dead. the one, his relative that just died, in the removal of the pile of stone case, if he is the sole owner, owner of the Korban Pesach, or the sole beneficiary, we wouldn't want that to be the situation, that he's the sole owner, because, as Rashi says, the person under the rocks might turn out to be dead, and he had been defiled then through Tumas oil, to oils overshadowing the dead, hence becoming Tomei, and not fit for the Korban Pesach. The incarcerated fellow, if he is the sole owner, maybe they won't release him. The Cholen Zokein, true, right now they seem to be able to, but by nightfall maybe they'll become more infirmed and weaker and unable to eat the minimum olive quantity. So we don't want them to be the sole beneficiaries of the Korban Pesach, but as a part of a group of others, then it's okay. As the Mishnah says, we'll read this again. Al kulam ein shochtem alem b'fnei atzmon shema yaviu es haPesach lidei psul, because they might be responsible for causing the Korban Pesach to be rendered unfit, meaning that you'll have no one to eat from it, and it'll then become a Pesach shenishchat shelo lioichlin. Lefikach im ira bohen psul. Therefore, if something befell them that night that made them unable to eat their Korban Pesach, the Onein, the Mefakech Sagal, the Meftichu Beis Asurim, Choy Lezokin, all of these people, if in fact they became unable, Pturin Milasos Pesach Sheni, they are exempt from the makeup Korban Pesach, because at the time that the Korban Pesach was shechted, they were fit. Chutz min amefakeh hagal shutomei mitchilasa, with the exception of the example, the second example of the mission of the avalanche remover, because in the case that he is found to be posel, it really is a reflection of the gentleman underneath the rocks having been tomei from the very outset. So therefore, even before the shechita of the Korban Pesach, the fellow removing the rocks had overshadowed what turns out to be a corpse. So he wasn't fit at the time of the slaughtering, hence he will need to do the Pesach Sheni, the makeup Korban Pesach. That, just we're being a bit repetitive, that's in contrast with the other cases who were fit for the Korban Pesach at the time of the shechita. And being that they were fit at the time of the Shechita, they, even if they're not able to eat from it in practice, in actuality, that night, they nevertheless are exempt from the Pesach Sheni. The Gemara opens up with a discussion concerning the incarcerated individual. The topic heading on the side, the Nosei, we have written, Hiftichu Lotseis Beso Asurim, someone who was promised with release from incarceration, Aim Shochtin Olav, is he eligible to have the Korban Pesach process for him? Namely, the 14th of Nisan was the day that he was assured of release. So, before his release, can we process the Korban Pesach? Mention will be made of two different jail situations. Aleph, Beis Asurim Shel Goyim, a Gentile incarceration, and the Beis Asurim Shel Yisrael, were incarcerated in a Jewish prison. Omar Rabo Bar Una, Omar of Yochanan, Lo Yishanu, the teaching of the Mishnah that we won't slaughter for a sole owner who happens to be an incarcerated individual, that restriction is taught Elo Beis Asurim V'Akum, a Gentile prison. Avo Beis Asurim V'Yisrael, but if you're talking about a person incarcerated in a Jewish prison system, Shochtin B'Fnei Atzmo, even if he is the only member of the Korban Pesach team, in other words, he is a sole consumer of this Korban Pesach, we will slaughter for him. Kevon the Av Techinu, since they promised him his release, Mapik Le, he will be released. Dechtiv Sheris Yisrael Lo Yasu Avlo Velo Yadabru Kozov. The Pusik, without a literal translation, is saying that the Jewish people would not lie. And therefore, if they, on the 14th, if he had been promised with release upon the 14th of Nisan, so there's no fear that he will remain in the prison and unable to partake of the Korban Pesach. Hence, even if he is a singular participant, we're not afraid of a psul setting in. Omar Rav Chisda, Ha di Amris Beis Wasurim de Akum Loi, that which we said regarding a Gentile prison, we don't allow a Korban Pesach to be slaughtered for the incarcerated one if he is the sole beneficiary. Lo Amar An Ela Chutz L'Chaimas Beis Pagi. That's only if the Beis Wasurim, the prison, is located outside the far extreme of Jerusalem. Chomas Beis Pagi is the wall of Beis Pagi being the far extent of Yerushalayim. Beyond that wall, a Korban Pesach cannot be brought. It would become pusul, would become unfit based on the Psul Yotze, leaving its boundary. Aval ifnim Chomas Beis Pagi, if we're describing a Gentile prison within the walls of Beis Pagi, within the walls of Jerusalem, Shochtin alav b'fnei atzmo, even if he's the sole owner and he's in a Gentile prison, we will process the Korban Pesach on his behalf. My time, why is that? Efshur di amtule v'ochele, it's possible to bring him his portion or his Korban Pesach and he'll eat it over there. Rashi, a few lines down from me, we have a star there. Demailile min haPesach b'sol beis asurim lechol the halifnim Yerushalayim. Who, in that case, if it's the fnim yichomis beis pagi, is within the Jerusalem boundaries, and the korban is still fit, and therefore, even if he's the sole owner and he's in a prison run by Gentiles, by idol worshippers, he is still eligible to receive the benefits of a sole ownership Korban Pesach processing. Mefikach im ira v'chulei, chutz min ha-mefakech sagal. The Mishnah spoke about all of the examples in that were featured as being exempt from a Pesach sheni, except for the case of someone who was removing a pile of stones from what subsequently turns out to be a dead person underneath. That situation necessitates a Pesach Sheni. Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chanom Rabbi Yochanan. You notice how, in this, structurally speaking, Rabo Bar Bar Chanom is qualifying the Mishnah here as he did earlier, and our markings are attempting to bring out that structural phenomenon where in each case Rabbi Bar Bar Chana quotes Rabbi Yochanan as qualifying the Mishnah. So here too, Rabbi Bar Chana quotes Rabbi Yochanan, says Lo Shanu. The teaching that the Mefakech HaZagal, upon discovery of a corpse, will have to do a Pesach Sheni, that's Lo Shanu Elo Gal Ogoil. That's where the nature of the avalanche, the stones that he was removing, were circular. It was a circular pile of stones, which means for us that he definitely, at every point, was overshadowing the body. Avogal Oroich, if he was involved with removing stones that were positioned in a long fashion, a long pile of stones, elongated pile of stones, then we say Potter Milasos Pesach Sheni, he is exempt from needing to do the makeup Pesach, Emo Tor Hoya Bishas Shita. Maybe at the time that the Korban Pesach was being slaughtered for him, at that point, he hadn't actually overshadowed the body. The body being somewhere further along in this pile of stones that he was removing. Tanyo Nami Hochiane, Tanaic source supports this. Reb Shimon Benoi Shereb Yochanan Broka Oimer, Mefakeach Begal, someone who is removing a pile of stones from upon somebody. Itim Potter, Itim Chayef, sometimes he will be exempt from a Pesach Sheni, and sometimes he will be obligated. Ketzad, how do we explain this? Gal Ogoil, a round pile, Vinimtseis Tuma Tachtov, Chayov. If it's a circular pile of stones and a corpse is found underneath, so the person removing the stones from the very outset had overshadowed what we now know was a corpse. So even before the Pesach was slaughtered for him, we now know he was Tomei. Gal Oroich, Vinimtseis Tuma Tachtov Potter, a long pile of stones under which eventually a body was found, the mefakech, the remover of the stones, will be exempt from the Pesach Sheni. Eimo tor hoya b'shas shchita, because at the time that the Korban Pesach was shechted for this stone remover, he had not yet overshadowed the body, and therefore the Pesach Rishon on the 14th of Nisan that was done for him was done while he was still Tohor, still eligible to be a member of the Korban Pesach. And therefore, he doesn't need to do a Pesach Sheni. The Mishnah. Ein shochten es ha-Pesach ala yochid, divrei Rebbe Yehuda. We had just finished in the Gemara beforehand speaking about slaughtering a Korban Pesach for a sole owner. That would not be in conformity to Shitas Reb Yehuda, because Reb Yehuda says when passing Korban Pesach, there have to be more than one person that are members of the of that Korban Pesach that join together to form a group. Reb Yossi Matir, and Reb Yossi says even if there is one person who bought the Korban Pesach, he's the sole owner, and there are no other participants, you can process the Korban Pesach for him. V'afilu chabura shel mea she'enon yecholim le'achol kezayis ein shochtem aleihem. If, however, there's a group, even if a group of 100 people, but between them they cannot eat an olive quantity of korban pesach, you cannot slaughter a korban pesach. In other words, the size of the group in and of itself is not a determining factor to allow processing of a Korban Pesach. There has to be the ability for an olive quantity to be consumed. Now, we look at Rashi, V'afilu chabura shomea, Reb Yossi ko'omar lo. This comment in the Mishnah is made by Reb Yossi. Bearing in mind, Reb Yossi is the one that said it's okay to have a single owner of Korban Pesach. Reb Yossi is saying that klomar lo talya milsa de Pesach elo bachila. The processing of a Korban Pesach is dependent solely on the issue of its being consumed, its being eaten. Yochid v'yochol echol kezayis, if there is an individual, but he can eat an olive quantity, shochten olav, we will slaughter on his behalf the Korban Pesach. Me'al v'yein yecholim le'echol kezayis, if you have 100 people, but they can't eat a kezayis bein kulam amongst all of them, Ein shochtin aleihem. It's my impression that when we speak about 100 people and Rashi says Ein yichol lechol kezayis bein kulam, basically he's saying that of all the 100 people there, no one of them can eat an olive quantity. And since the minimum amount of eating in the Torah is an olive quantity, and no one of them can eat that olive quantity, the fact that you've got 100 people joining together isn't going to make a difference, isn't going to allow us to do the Korban Pesach. The Mishnah continues, V'ein oisin chaburas noshim v'avodim uktanim. And we don't make a group, we don't form a group of Korban Pesach participants of women, slaves, and minors. This will be explained at greater length later in the Gemara. On the side, under our topic heading, we note Machloikis Tanoi Binyan Shchitas Pesach Avur Yochid. We saw that in our Mishnah, and now source material for that information. Tanu Rabbanan, Minayin Shein Shochtem Es HaPesach Al HaYochid, from where do we know that you don't slaughter a Korban Pesach for one person? Talmud Lomar, Lo Suchal Lizboich Es HaPesach Be'echod. That's the Pasuk, and the truth is that the presentation of the Pasuk like this is not the way you would normally read in terms of punctuation and pausing. The Pasuk goes on to say, Ba'achat she'orecha, that you can't do a Korban Pesach in one of your towns. But Rabbi Yehuda breaks off the continuity of the Pasuk after the word Be'echod. Instead of reading Ba'achat she'orecha, he reads it, after all, the Torah does not have punctuation in it, and how to approach the words of the Torah is all dependent on oral traditions. Just like the vowelization of the Torah, there are no vowels in the Torah. How do you know how to read the very words? You're dependent upon the oral tradition. So Rabbi Yehuda says that this pasuk can be read as he just presented it. Lo sucha lechos haPesach be'echad, that you cannot slaughter the Korban Pesach for an individual, for one person. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Yachid v'yachol le'ochlo shochten olav. If it's one person and he can eat an olive quantity, that's good enough, and we will slaughter for him. Asara v'ein yucholim le'ochlo, ein shochten aleim. 10 people, but none of them can eat an olive quantity, we will not shecht it for them. For Rabbi Yossi, hai be'echod my ovid lei. What does Rabbi Yossi do with the word be'echod in the pasuk? Rabbi Yehuda already presented his position on that. What about Rabbi Yossi? Answer, Miboy Alei, Lich Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi needs the word Be'echot for Rabbi Shimon's teaching. Now, we're going to come back to this point later, and we have a star on the side indicating Omid Beis, but just to plant the seed, so to speak, of the Gemara coming up, we're going to repeat this point. Rabbi Yossi holds by the drosh of Reb Shimon. So Reb Yossi agrees with Reb Shimon on the following point. Reb Yossi needs be'echod for Reb Shimon's drosh of Desanya. Reb Shimon oimer, minayin lezoveach es pischo bebomas yochid b'shas isra bomas. From where do we know that someone who offers a Korban Pesach historically, at the time when private altars were prohibited, just a brief overview, historical overview, the Jewish people, when they were traveling in the desert and they had set up a Mishkan, all sacrifices had to be brought to the Mishkan. Upon entrance to the land of Israel, there was a period of time that private altars were allowed. However, once the Mishkan was built at Shiloh, private altars were banned, and that's called Shas Isur HaBomos. Subsequent to this destruction of Shiloh, which stood for 369 years, there was a period of time that the Mizbeach was located at Nov and Givon, two other places, prior to the building of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. During that interim period, the time between Shiloh and the building of the temple in Jerusalem, there was a reinstatement of the heter bomos, the permission to have private altars. Now, as far as what kind of sacrifices were brought at these private altars, we can say that voluntary personal sacrifices, nedarim and nedavos, were brought at these private altars. So Reb Shimon addresses the issue of offering a Korban Pesach at a private altar during the prohibition of bomos. So from where do we know that one who offers a Korban Pesach at a bomos yochid b'sha'as isra bomos, the time private altars are prohibited, shuba lo yisaseh, that he is guilty of violating a negative command? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, lo yisucha lizboyach es ha-pesach be'achad she'orecha. That, by the way, is the pasuk that we saw Reb Yehuda darshan before. Yochol af bishas heter habomos kain? Would you say the same thing, that he's in violation of a negative command if he offers a korban pesach during the zman of heter bomos? Now, we should point out that a korban pesach essentially is never brought at a private altar, even when private altars were allowed. The question here is he in violation of a negative command which would result in receiving lashing? Let's say he brings a korban pesach at a private altar during the time period when private altars were allowed. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Ba'achad shorecha. Lo omru, the negative command of Lo sucha lizboch was stated only b'shah shekol Yisrael nichnosim b'shah rechad, at a time that all of Israel was required to enter one gate, namely where there was only one place that sacrifices in general could be offered. And that's the time of Isser Bomos. But at the time of Heter Bomos, so the pasuk that says Lo sucha lizboch is not binding, doesn't apply. Rabbi Yehuda hai minole, Rabbi Yehuda, this issue concerning the bomos, where does he know that from? So the Gemara answers, tarti shames mina, from the pasuk of lo sucha lizboch hazboch ba'achad she'orecha, he derives both points. Namely, you can't shecht the korban pesach for an individual, and that the lav of lo suchal applies only bisman the lav of lo suchal vis-a-vis private bomos applies only at the time of iser bomos. Ulu Rabbi Yossi, now turning to Rabbi Yossi, mimai de lahochi de koma Rabbi Shimon, who says that the pasuk is here to tell me that which Rabbi Shimon said, Dilma kidekaoma Rabbi Yehuda Huda Asa. Maybe the purpose of the pasuk is like Rabbi Yehuda said, that ein shochtem al hayochid. Omar lo, Rabbi Yossi will respond, lo salka daitoch. I can't accept that law, that there's a prohibition of shechting a korban pesach for a yochid, for an individual. There's another pasuk which is the where Rashi says this is really Rabbi Yossi's mocker is. It says ish lefi achloi, clearly referring to an individual, so that the korban pesach is shechted for an individual. So that after all is said and done, the pasuk, as far as through Rabbi Yossi's eyes, the pasuk of lo suchal, that's a pasuk really referring to the issue of Isser Bomos. And as far as the basis of Rabbi Yossi saying that Pesach is Nishchat al Hayochid, that's learned from this pasuk, Ish Lefi Ochloi. Rami Lei Rav Ukva Bar Chinino Mi Parishna Le Rava. So Rav Ukva, who's from Parishna, he raises a difficulty in the presence of Rava. Mi Omar Rabbi Yehuda ain't shechtes a pesach al yochid. Did Rabbi Yehuda really say that you don't shecht the korban pesach for a private individual, for one person? Vera minhu. We have the following Tanaic source. It says, Ish berishoin shechtin ole b'fnei atzmo. Let's start this source again. Isha berishon, a woman. With regard to Pesach Rishon, the 14th of Nisan, Shochtin Oleha Bifnei Atzma, a korban Pesach can be shechted for her alone. Ubasheni, when it comes to Pesach Sheni and women, we say Oisin Oisot Feilo Lachirim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We will shecht her if she is part of a group of others. Well, you see, this is Rabbi Yehuda. So how can you say before that the Tano Rabbi Yehuda would have told us that Ein Shochtin Al HaYochid, when here you see that very same Tano Rabbi Yehuda saying that you shecht for a woman by herself? Omar Lei, so Rava answers, Lo Teimo Bifnei Atzmo, don't read the source as shechting a korban pesach for a woman, a singular woman by herself. Elo Eimo Bifnei Atzmon. On Pesach Rishon, Korban Pesach can be processed for a group of women who are a group of women by themselves. An entire group of women. Omar Le, so Rav Ukva asks, Mi Avdinon Chabura Shikula Noshim? Do we allow groups of that are purely women to form for Korban Pesach? Vatnan. Our Mishnah had taught Ein Oisin Chaburas Noshim Vavodem Uktanim. My love. The Mishnah that taught we don't make groups of women, slaves, or minors. Does that not mean my love, Noshim Lechudayu, Vavodim Lechudayu, Uktanim Lechudayu? Groups of women by themselves, of slaves by themselves, and minors by themselves. So how can you reinterpret the source that says Isha Barishon Shoftan Alel B'fnei Atzmon as a group of women by themselves when that cannot be formed? Omar Le, so Rava answers, Lo, your understanding of the restriction of the Mishnah of that says Ein Oisin Chaburas Noshim is not accurate, but rather the Mishnah that says Noshim Avodim Uktanim, it means that you can't make a group made up of Noshim, women and slaves and minors. And why is a combination group not acceptable? So the Gemara explains, Noshim Vavodim, having women together with slaves, that cannot be a group, Mishum Tiflus, because of sin. Avodim, are slaves, are not trustworthy with regard to issues of morality and the fear of Tiflus, of sin taking place, so we avoid a group made of women and slaves. Ketanim Vavodim, we don't want to have a group of minors and slaves. Mishum, the Gemara at the top of Omid Beis, Pritzusa. Rashi says, the Mishkav Zocher, there is suspicion here that the slaves will engage in homosexual activities if they are left alone together with minors. But as far as a group of women alone, purely women, that is okay. So, up till now, we've been involved in looking at the sources for the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, concerning can you shef the Korban Pesach for a private individual, for a sole owner. Here at the top line of Omid Beis, we quote in full that which we mentioned in passing just a moment before, Gufa, Isha, Barishon Shochten Olel B'fnei Atzma, when it comes to women, and we should point out on the side, we have an introduction, a title heading, the Nosei reads, Shchidas Pesach Avur Noshim, the slaughtering of a Korban Pesach for women. We'll mention Pesach Rishon, and we'll mention Pesach Sheni. In this source, you will see three deos of Tanoim. So, according to the first opinion, when it comes to Pesach Rishon, she can be alone. Ubasheni, oisin oisa tfeilo lachir. When it comes to Pesach Sheni, if she's part of a group of others, then we can shecht a Pesach Sheni. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Isha, Besheni, Shokhtala B'fnei Atzma. Rabbi Yossi is very lenient, if you will, very encompassing, and says that a woman, even if she's by herself on Pesach Sheni, the makeup Pesach can be shechted on her behalf. The Ein Tzorach Lomar Rishon, I don't have to tell you that the same would apply to Pesach Rishon. Well, certainly, if she is alone, if on Pesach Sheni we allow her to be alone, then certainly on Pesach Rishon, which is the primary time for doing the Korban Pesach, certainly we will allow it to be shechted for a woman who is by herself. Reb Shimon Omer, Isha Barishon Oisin Oisa Tfeila Lachirim. With regard to Reb Shimon, woman, on the first Pesach, on the Yud Dalet Nisan, will shecht for a woman only if she's part of a group. B'sheni, as far as Pesach Sheni and women are concerned, ein shochtem olel kol ikur. We don't shecht with her in mind whatsoever. B'mai komifli. What is the basis of this machlokes tanoim? Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a note on the side, the Mivneh note. You can see the diamond is featured. And these diamonds represent Makoros l'chol echod mishitas atanoim. If you scan down the page, you'll see that we have diamonds around each one of the names that we've already seen, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Reb Shimon. By the way, we have a little chart in a schematic fashion to make things maybe easier to see. The three shitas of the Tanoim Rav Yosef Shimon going down the right hand column, and across the top you have Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. What does each Tana hold in each case? The abbreviated expression that you see there is Bifnei Atzma. Now we turn to the Gemara, seeking the sources for their respective opinions. B'mai komifligi, what is the basis of their machlokas? Rav Yehuda Savar, b'michsas nefoshos, the pasuk that speaks about the slaughtering of the Pesach uses the term b'michsas nefoshos. Rashi says, midalok siv anoshim, from the fact that it uses the word nefoshos and it doesn't say men, afilu isha b'mashma. So this pasuk, as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, includes women. And b'michsas nefoshos v'afilu noshim. V'chitema, if that be the case, Yochi Afilu Pesheni Nami. So say the same thing with regard to Pesach Sheni. Why there do we not allow the Pesach Sheni to be processed for a woman exclusively? The Gemara answers, Ksiv. It says regarding Pesach Sheni, which is featured in Bamidbar Perek Tes, Chet'oi Yiso Ho'ish Hahu. Ish in, Ishalo. In the context of Pesach Sheni, the Pesach specifies a man from which we infer, man yes, woman no. That is, again, a woman by herself. She will not be the basis of slaughtering a Pesach Sheni. The Chitema, well, if you want to suggest, because of this pasuk by Pesach Sheni, Ihochi afilu tfeilo nami b'sheni lo, then she shouldn't even be an attachment to a group of people when it comes to Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, Ahani kechol chukas haPesach, also from the pasuk in regarding Pesach Sheni, it says kechol chukas haPesach letfeilo be'alma. The pasuk basically says that the Pesach Sheni is treated like the Pesach Rishon. And we happen to know that in Pesach Rishon, a woman can be the basis of it's being slaughtered. So we preserve an element of the woman's presence in the Pesach Sheni, provided she is tfeilo. She's an appendage or an attachment to an existing group. For Reb Yosi Maitaima, now Reb Yosi went all the way and said you can always Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni shef for a woman by herself. Dichtiv Barishon, it says regarding Pesach Rishon, b'michsas nefoshos, v'afilu isha. That, as we saw before, that includes a woman. Uksiv b'Pesach Sheni, v'nichriso ha-nefesh ha-yi mi-Yisrael. Regarding Pesach Sheni, it says that someone doesn't do it, so they will suffer kores. The word nefesh, v'afilu noshim. That includes even women. What about the pasuk by Pesach Sheni that featured a man? What is excluded? Lumute katon mikoreis. This is to the exclusion of a minor, and the Meforshim explain, you can see this in Tosfos, a reference to a child that became adult between the 14th of Nisan and the 14th of Iyar, that he is exempt and hence will not be chayav for not doing the Pesach Sheni, won't be chayav kores. For Rabbi Shimon, now what about Shitas Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon was the most restrictive as far as women are concerned. For Rabbi Shimon, ksiv b'rishon ish. Regarding the Pesach Rishon, you see the word ish. Now, we don't see immediately what pasuk he is referring to, so we're just going to take it at face value that regarding Pesach Rishon, there the word ish appears, from which Reb Shimon infers ish in, ishalo, only for a man, not for a woman. And if you say, well, if Pesach Rishon is excluding women, then even as a member of a group, a tfeilo situation, which referred to her being the member of a group with others, she should not be acceptable. And yet Rav Shimon says that a Pesach Rishon, she is tfeila. So the answer to that is, Ahani leba, michsas nefoshos, letfeila. The presence of the word of the Pesach, michsas nefoshos, which was not exclusionary, that enables a woman to be included as a tfeila, as an appendage to an existing group. an attachment to an existing group. The chitema afilu b'sheni nami. Well, then say the same thing for Pesach Sheni. Let the woman be acceptable in a tfeilah capacity. And Rabbi Shimon, we saw in the source, excluded that. What's his basis? Mi'et rachmona b'sheni d'chtiv cheto yisa ha'ish. Regarding Pesach Sheni, there was a limitation expression featuring the word ish, ish in, isha lo. Man, yes, woman no. Mimai kome mayet lei. What is she being excluded from? I michiyuv. If you think she's being excluded from an obligation of Pesach Sheni, hashta barishon lo b'sheni mibaya, she's not even obligated as an individual on Pesach Rishon. It goes without saying she's not obligated. I don't need the pasuk to exclude her from Pesach Sheni. Elol lav mitfeila. Rather, what is she being excluded from? She's being excluded from being even an attachment to a group. Of course, with regard to Pesach Sheni. Umay ish de ka'oma Reb Shimon. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side. This can be aligned with the arrow above, where Reb Shimon made reference to the word ish in the context of Pesach Rishon. Well, where do we find that? Inemo, if you'll say, and you can see this Gemara is in stages. This is stage one, a few lines later, stage two. Where do we find ish in the context of Pesach Rishon? So, inemo, if you say, v'kulahem ish se lebeis avos v'chulei, from this pasuk which describes the fetching or the taking, the purchasing of a korban Pesach, hahu miboyalei lichad Reb Yitzchok. The word ish there is used for something else. It's not there to exclude women. The Omar, Reb Yitzchok, who taught, ish zoche v'ein koton zoche. An adult can acquire on behalf of others a portion in a Korban Pesach, and a minor cannot. So the word ish is exclusionary, but they are not exclusionary of women, exclusionary rather of a minor. V'ela, me'ish l'fi ochlo. This pasuk, which you find in Shmos Perek Yud Beis, also dealing with Pesach Rishon, it says ish l'fi ochlo, to the exclusion of a woman. The Gemara now starts a question that's dependent upon combining a number of points that we have learned. Ha, neither Rabbi Yossi Sovar law Rabbi Shimon. We saw this if we make use of the star that tells you to look back to Omid Aleph. And we tried to emphasize this at the time to plant the seeds for this point in the Gemara. There we saw Rabbi Yossi, when asked, what does he do with the word Echad in Lo Suchal Zorach Espesel Be'echad? What does he do with that word? So we aligned Rabbi Yossi with Reb Shimon. Rabbi Yossi holds by Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara now develops a question. Ha midu Reb Yossi sovar law k'Rabbi Shimon. Reb Shimon nami sovar law k'Rabbi Yossi. So Reb Shimon would then also hold like Reb Yossi, that learned from ish l'fi achloi. Vehahu miboya lei deshechten es haPesach al hayochid. Well, the ish l'fi achlo is used to tell me that we're allowed to slaughter a Pesach for a single owner. So ish l'fi achlo isn't here to serve as a source for Reb Shimon, whereby he excludes a woman. Rather, ish l'fi achlo, and here, you, by the way, we have an arrow pointing back to Amin Aleph, pointing back to where Reb Yossi taught that we shecht a Pesach for a yachid, for an individual. So if that's the case, so then we're, by saying that Reb Shimon will hold like Reb Yossi, Ish Lefi Achlo is then needed for Pesach Nishchan Al HaYochid. It can't be the source for Reb Shimon's exclusion of a woman. Omar Loch, so Reb Shimon will answer you. Im Kain, Nichtav Rachmona Lefi Achloi. If the purpose is simply to tell me that the Pesach is here to tell me a Pesach is shechted for a private person, so the Pesach could have been phrased in the singular, Lefi Achloi. My Ish, what is the role of Ish in that Pesach? Shamis Mino Tarti. So from this Pesach we learn both points. One, that a Pesach can be shechted for an individual, and also that with regard to Pesach Rishon, a woman cannot be the sole owner of, or the sole beneficiary of the korban. Kiman azla ha diomar Rebbe Elazar. Gemara here asks, we want to know, based on whom does the Amora Rebbe Elazar make his statement? Now we have to note that we have a bracketed section. The reason for these brackets is that the language contained within them is not accurate. So if we using the brackets, we skip for a moment to see what Rebbe Elazar really says in order to then ask based on whom is this comment. So what does the Gemara say? Kaman Asla Haldim Rebbe Elazar Isha Besheni Rishus. We skip the three lines, you notice. Isha Besheni Rishus Ubrishon Chova V'doiches HaShabbos. That a woman, with regard to Pesach Sheni, she is considered only optional. She has an option. But with regard to Pesach Rishon, she is obligated. And she can have, and if the 14th of Nisan comes out on a Shabbos, the woman can have her Korban Pesach Shechted, i.e. superseding Shabbos. Well, who would say that? Keman Kerebi Yehuda. This would conform to Shitas Reb Yehuda, who made a sharp distinction between women on the first, with regard to the first Pesach, that they're obligated, but with regard to the second Pesach, they are not obligated and only can be an attachment to a group. Let's go over the bracketed section now, starting with the question, Keman Az Lahodom Rabbi Lazar, Isha Berishon Chova, Ubesheni Rishus, V'doiches HaShabbos. Leaving Rebbe Elazar as is, he's saying on the first Pesach, so she has an obligation. With regard to the makeup Pesach, she is considered only optional. And she will supersede, her Korban Pesach will supersede Shabbos. And it seems from here, it'll supersede Shabbos even on Pesach Sheni. But how could that be? E Rishus. If it's a matter of something that's only optional, am I doiches HaShabbos? How can something that's merely optional have the power of superseding Shabbos and be processed on Shabbos? There's nothing like that. Elo Emo, but rather, you should say, Rebbe Elazar's original statement is as follows. B'sheni Rishus, uberishon Chova v'doiches HaShabbos. That on the, when we speak about doiches HaShabbos, that's only with regard to Pesach Rishon when she is obligated. Keman, well, that statement of the Amora Rebbe Elazar is based on whom? Kerevi Yehuda. That conforms to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda that we saw above. Amar Rav Yankiv, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein Oisin Chabura Shekula Geirim. We don't make a group of people for a Korban Pesach, which is exclusively converts. Shema Yedakdegu Boi V'yevi'uhu Lidei Psul. There might be piety and attention to details that will result in it becoming unfit. Now, there's a great amount of discussion concerning the way we view converts and their diligence in the practice of mitzvahs, the practice of Torah law. Rashi has one approach. Rashi says, Yedakdegu bo mishum she'enon b'nei Torah, because they're not scholars of Torah. We're talking then about, we'll call them newly converted people that didn't learn much Torah. And since they're not b'nei Torah, yachmiru alav, people out of ignorance will exercise more extreme restriction and precaution, and through that there will be the yachmir lov ledatek v'yafsiluhu al chinam. Actually, according to Rashi, it's not as we said. Our pshat is true, but based on other sources. According to Rashi, since the Geirim are not B'nai Torah, so we will treat them with too much stringency, and that excessive stringency that we exercise because they are not B'nai Torah will bring the Korban Pesach to ruination. The Tosfos introduces almost an opposite approach, whereby the Geirim are extremely diligent in their mitzvah performance, so much so that because of their exercise of extreme detail, they will end up causing the Korban Pesach to be ruined. There's much more on this topic. It's a very broad topic, and we will leave it at this point, leaving you with enough source material to research it further. As we say, the Tosfos here deals with it, and there are quite a few references that you can see on the Gemara page on this topic. Continuing in the Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan, Pesach u'matzu moror, Barishon chova, on the first night they are obligatory, mikan ve'elich rishus, beyond that they are optional. Now that line is very difficult to understand. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Banoshim Chova uBanoshim Rishus. With regard to men, they are obligated. Women, however, are not obligated. It's optional for them. Ahei Koi. On what is this expression of Mikan VeElech Rishus referring to? I Lemo Apesach. If it's referring to the Korban Pesach, so what would the source be saying? We'll be saying the Korban Pesach, along with Matzah Mor, on the first night is obligatory, and on the subsequent days, if you want to, you can. But that's not true. Pesach Kol Shiva Miiko, is there such a thing as practicing Korban Pesach all 7 days? V'elo Amatzah Umoror. Rather, it's a reference to the Matzah Mor as being something obligatory the first night, and the rest of Pesach, it's something that is optional. Emo Seifa. Well, let's continue reading now the Seifa. Reb Shimon Oimer, Banoshim Choyvu, Banoshim Rishus. In the Seifa, Reb Shimon says, regarding men, there is an obligation. Regarding women, there is option. In other words, non-obligation. So what would we be saying then? That women are not obligated eating matzah on the night of the Pesach, of the Seder night. Could that be? V'chiles lay the Rabbi Shimon hold Yomer Belozer. Does Rabbi Shimon not hold from that which Rabbi Belozer says? Noshim chayyavos b'chiles matzah devar Torah. Women are obligated to eating matzah from the Torah. Shneimar lo soichal of chametz shivas yomim toichal of matzos. The pasuk speaks about the prohibition of eating chametz, and in contrast, the permission of eating matzah. And we darshan this pasuk, kol sheyeshno bebal toichal chometz, whoever is included in the negative command, the prohibition of eating chometz, yeshno bekumecho matzah, they are obligated in the eating of matzah. The hani noshim, and with regard to women, hayo v'yeshnon bebal toichal chometz, since they are included in the prohibition of eating chometz, women are not released from that prohibition. They are prohibited eating chametz. Yeshnon b'kumecho matzah, by virtue of this pasuk, even though matzah is what we call a mitzvah aseh shehazman grom, even though it's a fixed time positive command, which generally speaking is reason for exemption of women, but this pasuk parallels the prohibition of chametz with the positive obligation of eating matzah. So just like they are prohibited eating chametz, they are obligated eating matzah. So the source that we had roughly 10-12 lines ago at the two dots is a difficult source at this point to understand. Elo emo. So rather say as follows. Pesach matzu moror. Barishon chova. Mikan v'elech rishus. Reb Shimon Omer. Pesach be'anoshim chova. Benoshim Rishus. The Rashi is very helpful over here, because leaving the Gemara as it is, it would still be unclear when you run into the expression Mikan V'Eilich Rishus after the opening of this rereading includes Pesach, when we establish that there is no Mikan V'Eilich Rishus regarding the Pesach. So Rashi explains, Ela Hochi Komar, Pesach Matzumor Barishon Chova. As far as that's concerned, it's clear that on the 14th or the 14th of Nisan at night, the 15th of Nisan, which ushers in the 15th of Nisan, these three elements are obligatory. Mikan ve'elech rishus. V'koi hai mikan ve'elech, that expression of mikan ve'elech is going on matzah morah, is going only on matzah morah. That after the night following the 14th, the rest of the days of Pesach, matzah morah, are optional. Not so with the Korban Pesach, it's not even optional. It's done only the 14th at night, and that's it. Reb Shimon polig a Pesach, and Reb Shimon argues with regard to the Korban Pesach, the Tanakhama said that the Pesach is obligatory on the first night for everybody. Well, I, Reb Shimon, say, Banoshim hu da have choiva v'noshim rishus. Only with regard to men is the Pesach Rishon obligatory, not with regard to women. For Reb Shimon letamei, and Reb Shimon is consistent with that which he said at the upper part of the Omid, who's where you see Reb Shimon said Isha Barishon Osinosot Fela. She's only an attachment to a group, but not that she is herself obligated. The Mishnah, Oinein Toivel V'Oichel Es Pischoi Lo Erev Avoloi Bekotchim. We alluded to this earlier. The Onein, someone who whose close relative died, and he hasn't yet buried him. During that day, he has a status known as Aninus. The Onein, we tell you, can immerse himself in the mikveh. Now, this immersion is not an immersion for purification from tumas meis, from defilement to the dead. We're not talking about an onein who actually is defiled to the dead. Otherwise, he'd be tomei for 7 days. But in order to participate in kochim, he needs to immerse himself. That is a rabbinic stringency. It's a chumrah, but that's what the mission is referring to. The onein, who while he was in, during the daytime when he was restricted from eating kachim, in order for him to eat the Korban Pesach that night, he has to go to the mikveh. Now, this allowance is only with regard to the Pesach, avoloi the kachim. We will not allow the onein, even though it's nighttime and he's not an onein midoraisa, but nevertheless, he is restricted from eating kachim. And we explained this earlier. Hashomea al meso, Rashi at the bottom says, Hashomea al meso, yom shmua have oinein derabonin. Someone hears that a close relative died. He was just informed of it. So that's the day that he hears about it. He's considered an onein rabbinically. The top of Tzadi Beis Amad Aleph, v'hamalakit loy atzamois, someone whose parents had been buried and they were being reinterred. The collection of the remains is called Malakit Lo Atzamos. The collection of the bones of one's father or mother, the Gemara in Moed Katan says, he observes a mourning period of 1 day, and that evening he is no longer to mourn over them. Again, we're talking about reinterment. We're not talking about some, you know, a case of an immediate burial, but rather reinterment. So, a malaki lo atzamos, even though, as we say, the parents might have died years before, but nevertheless, the day that the bones are being gathered for reinterment, that day he observes mourning. Toivel the oichel bekotchim, he immerses himself and can eat even kotchim that night. And the reason for that is that even the daytime itself is only osur midrabanan. Therefore, the nighttime is a lower level. There isn't anything to restrict him. Ger shinizgayer be'erev Pesach. someone converted to Judaism on the 14th of Nisan. Beis Shammai omrim tovel v'oichel es pischo lo'erev. Beis Shammai says it's enough for him to immerse himself and partake of the Korban Pesach that evening. Beis Hillel omrim ha'poresh min ha'orlo k'poresh min ha'kever. One who separates himself from his foreskin, as you know, a male who converts, his conversion is dependent upon his being circumcised. So Beis Hillel says that separation from the foreskin, the circumcision, is like someone who separated from a grave, which in simpler terms means he is treated as a tamei meis, and he is not fit that evening, and rather needs, as Rashi says, he needs the poraduma, sprinkling as a tamei meis would on his third day and his seventh day since his circumcision. The Gemara asks regarding the resha amai, why do we say that the onain, whose relative, close relative, died that day, why do we say that he is eligible for the Korban Pesach at night, and not so with regard to other sacrifices, other kachim? So the Gemara explains, Kosovar aninus delaylo derabonan. The status that we impose on someone, the aninus status we impose on someone the following night, the night following the day of the death, that nighttime status is merely rabbinic. And when we speak about an onain, as we alluded to already, an onain is someone who is restricted from a number of things, but amongst which he's restricted from participating in sacrifices. The Korban Pesach is also a sacrifice. However, v'gabi Pesach lo amidu divrei b'mokom kores, regarding the Korban Pesach, the rabbis did not insist on their aninus restriction when confronting a mitzvah like the eating of Korban Pesach. The mitzvah of Korban Pesach involves a kores punishment for one who doesn't fulfill it. Therefore, we see the leniency with regard to the onain, who is allowed to partake of the Korban Pesach that night. Gabi kochim hemidu divrayim b'mokoyim asay. It's true that with regard to the eating of sacrifices in general, there is a positive command, but one who doesn't partake of other sacrifices isn't going to be punished by kores. Therefore, since it's called a lower level type urgency, when it comes to aninus derabonan, the rabbi says, they say, listen, you have to observe, accept aninus status and desist from korban consumption. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.